Our class tonight sounds like the class that should be the only class necessary in the class on the Jewish home. And as you know from our other classes, it's not. But it is a very important class. It's a class that's hard to attain. The concepts we're going to discuss are going to sound obvious. And you're going to think, like, of course I want to have that in my marriage. And then reality will hit, and you'll suddenly see that this is something to aspire to work on, and we'll discuss how to hopefully get there. And the title of our class is Finding Your Best Friend in Marriage. Being Your Wife's Best Friend in Marriage. And it would seem like that's an obvious thing, right? Isn't that obvious? We're getting married. We're building our whole lives together. So where does it hit a snag? Where do things start getting difficult? And why don't we get there? Why can't we get there? And before we approach that, I want to discuss some things that we are not discussing tonight, okay? There is a normal need for men to have male friends. There's a normal need for men to get out of the house. If your wife is your best friend, that doesn't mean that you won't need to have male friends. That doesn't mean that you two can spend the whole day together and be together all the time without driving one another crazy. It can be great, you can have a wonderful relationship, and you still need to be separate. She needs to do her thing, you need to do your thing, and it's not healthy to be together too much. There's a normal amount, and then when you start crossing that line, men sometimes think it'll be great for our relationship, and they won't. Women sometimes think, let's spend all this time together, and it might not be so great for you. So we're not discussing that tonight. We're not discussing the idea that really we need time separate and we need time with friends. What we are discussing is what component is it that will make our relationship meaningful and worthwhile to the point of being that trusted friendship that we really want in a marriage. And why is it so hard to get there? So why it's so hard to get there, there are many components which we cover in many classes, but there are certain components we'll cover tonight. What's the major component? The major component is the ability to listen and accept. Listen and accept. And us men are very bad at that. I'll give an example. Let's start a simple conversation. Sit down with your wife. How was your day? Great. How was your day? Great. And then your wife starts telling you some things about her day. And you're listening. And you're not sure what she's trying to tell you. And after a few minutes, you're sort of losing your patience because you really have no clue what she wants to tell you. What do you do now? You're about to leave the house, and your wife says, you know, I was thinking maybe I should close the bank account. We should start working with cash alone. You're about to leave the house, and you look at her, and it's like, isn't that like a big decision? Shouldn't we discuss that before you do it? And, you know, I sort of have to leave now. What do you answer? So what's the average husband answer? I forgot to tell you, yesterday I took out a new mortgage. We'll talk later. Suddenly she's running after him. Oh no, you started something that needs a long conversation, so I started something that needs a long conversation. Don't worry about it, we'll talk later. Right? So conversation is a key component, and it's not as simple as we think. But the major component, which we need to deal with tonight, is acceptance. Because the general conversation has its own hardship. But then there's the trust and the acceptance that we all want in a marriage that is really the component that allows us to to forge that relationship, to forge that bond that you feel like someone's your best friend? Do you say they're my best friend because we went on a hike together? Or do you say they're my best friend because we've shared so much together? They're my best friend because we both invested in the same stocks? Or they're my best friend because we share what's meaningful in life? And the reason you want to share something with someone is not really because they're so smart. That's why you want to listen to them. The reason we want to share something with someone is because we feel they will be accepting of us. If you feel someone is accepting of you, then you want to share with them. If you feel they're smart, then you might take their counsel. But you won't have this urge to share with them what's going on inside of you. You guys with me? That's very hard. Because in order for someone to feel the trust, there has to be a baseline of acceptance. And we discussed a few weeks ago that we have a hard time giving that baseline to our spouse. A few examples. Your wife left the milk out of the fridge. So the next morning you say, oh, by the way, you left the milk out of the fridge. Why does that matter? I'm asking you. It's over. The milk is gone. Does it matter that she's the one that left it out? Yeah, next time maybe she'll remember. Okay. Maybe. Maybe not. Your wife makes noodles and she serves the noodles at the table. Then you come to wash the dishes. You're a great husband. As you're washing the dishes, you notice that the colander is stuck with all these little pieces of noodles. So you tell her, honey, you know, if you would soak the colander right after you made the noodles, then it's so easy. It just comes right off. Big deal? Yeah, to her it's a big deal. You finished drinking coffee in the morning and you did what most husbands do. You forgot the butts in the cup next to the computer. It's the third cup you forgot there already. So your wife comes and says, you know, it would be nice if you cleaned up your coffee. Is it a big deal? Nothing's a big deal. No, it's okay, so you'll go clean up the coffee. But what happens if you walk through the front door and you say, I want to tell you something real special. And at that moment your wife says, okay, could you just clean up your coffee? Will you still go back and tell her that's something real special? So, we want a relationship where we trust. We want a relationship where we feel trusted. The key to giving that is avoiding criticism, is giving a feeling of acceptance. And the only way to give a feeling of acceptance is to avoid criticism at all costs. And small things are criticism. And that's where we lose it. And that's why you'll ask the average person, and they will tell you they don't have it. Even people who are very happy in their marriage will tell you they do not feel like they can share who they are with their spouse. You can share to a point, but can you share to the point you'd like to? Everyone would like to. And this comes to the key, to the real key of what's going on in marriage. What we really, really want is that our spouse should accept us where we know we are wrong. What we really want in marriage is that our spouse should say, I love you and your faults are not important to me. You know my faults, but they're not important to me. I'll tell you a remarkable story. If it wasn't true, it would be a wonderful fairy tale. But what's amazing is it's true. There was a young lady who had emotional issues. Her emotional issues were so bad that one day she started running around saying she was the Wicked Witch of the West, and she went looking for a broom and wanted to jump off of a third story. And she said, "I can fly, I'm a witch, I can fly." And you understand, she had to be institutionalized. And so they helped her out. And a year passed, and 2 years passed. And then her medication became off kelter again. And again, she had a serious episode. And this time she was far away from her parents. And on Shabbos, they had to fly out and get her, and again institutionalize her, and until they found the right balance. And then they had a number of years of peace and quiet. And they could make believe it was all behind her. And then she started dating. So she dated guy number one, she dated guy number two, and guy number three seemed great. Everything was going nicely. And then, it was going so nicely, she thought, this is it. And she sat down with him and she said, "I just have to share with you, there are these pills that I'm taking because I have a history that there were times where I went off balance." And the guy said, "That's very interesting, I want to think about it." And he came back and said, "I'd rather not." And she was devastated. Devastated. And didn't know what to do with herself. Forced herself back out there again. One of her teachers sat with her and talked to her and promised her, "Believe me, for Mr. Wright, it's going to be perfectly okay. Don't let this knock the wind out of you." And she went on dating. Guy number four, guy number five. She hits guy number six again. She really likes this guy. Now she's not sure what to do. She calls up her teacher before the date. She says, "You know, we've already gone out on a number of dates. It's starting to get really nice and really serious. I think I have to tell him." Teacher said, "Okay, I'll walk you through it. Let's think it through again." And the teacher thinks through with her how she'll present it, what she'll say, what she won't say. Halachically, what does she have to say? She comes to the date. The date is amazing. She tells the date, I want to share something with you." She presents it the way she had agreed with her teacher. The date says, "That's okay." They go out on two more dates, but the date says no. And she understands full well that this guy is also saying no because of this information. Now she calls up her teacher and says, "Will I ever get married?" She doesn't want to continue dating. She says, "I've already had two guys who I thought this was it, and they weren't even willing to continue dating me over this." And she was devastated. This happened a third time. Same story. And at that point, she didn't know if she should continue or not. And her teacher told her, "You don't have a choice. Not to continue means to give up on life. You've succeeded so much, there will be a Mr. Wright who will say, we can make this work. You cannot give up on life. This is reality. This is where you are. You can't give up on life." And so she continued. And she had a hard time getting into it because every time she'd think to herself, the guy won't agree. And finally she met a guy and it went nicely. And the dates keep going, and the date comes where she has to put the news and tell the guy. And she tells the guy. And the guy says, "Okay." So she says, "What do you mean, okay?" The guy goes, "Can we continue with the date? You told me, I heard." So she goes, "Okay." And they continue. And he ignores it. And they go on another date, and they go on another date. And then one date she asks him, she says, "Doesn't it bother you?" So he said, this is the line she quoted. He said, "Some people take pills for their heart. Some people take pills for their blood pressure. Some people take pills for other things." The person who has, he said to her, "If we get married, then just like the guy who has his medication, his heart medication, on the night table next to him so he won't forget it's there. He doesn't hide it from anyone because he has to make sure he takes it. So too the guy who has a blood pressure medication. Well, so too you. He said to her, if this will play itself out right, then it's going to be on the night table because you have to make sure you don't forget it. It's a part of life and we move on with it. And the rest of the story is history. They got married and they built a beautiful family together. And I think this girl once said to her teacher, she said, you should know, I think I'm the luckiest woman alive. Not because he agreed to marry me, but because he's accepting of who I am. Now that is the key of what every person is looking for. We all have, deep down inside, we have darker parts to our personality. We have weaknesses. We have things that we really wish were different. We have things that we don't believe will ever change, and we know they are part of our flaws. And yet, we want someone who will accept us and say, yeah, that's who you are. And you're great the way you are. And this is who I love and this is who I want to marry. And here comes the major question. Can we be that someone for someone else? Is there anyone in the world that we can be that someone for? Most often people feel like they have that with their mother. Their mother is accepting. She knows what's wrong with them. She changed their diapers and everything's fine. Many people have that with their mother. And that's one of the reasons why people say, I'm looking for my mother and my wife. That's not true. You're not looking for your mother and your wife, but you are looking for that acceptance level. At home, most people experience a level of acceptance which they really would like to have in their spouse. But now comes the major question. We know what we're looking for. Can we give it? What happens when we find the major flaws in our spouse's personality? We all have major flaws. And we all know when we meet our spouse's major flaws that they're exceptional. This is a doozy. Right? Every husband knows that he's got a doozy. Not true. Everyone thinks they have a doozy. Right? And everyone's convinced that theirs is extraordinary. This is where we check ourselves. We know what we're looking for. Can we be that best friend? Can we be accepting? And again, when we make those little comments, in our mind, they're not a big deal. No, they are a big deal. If they're really not a big deal, then why do I have to say them? You should always ask yourself that. If it's really not a big deal, then why did I have to say anything? And if I had to say something, then every time we say something, what we're really saying is, my comment is more important than our relationship. You see, it was worth our relationship. It was worth hurting someone's feelings to say it. So, this is really, again, we're all looking for it. Everyone wants it. It would seem to be the simplest thing. Isn't that what this whole class is all about? Having a beautiful relationship with your wife? Well, can we do it? And the answer is, it's very hard. It's not even natural to us. We're not that type of person. Ah, but we want a wife who's going to be that type of person. Well, no wife is that type of person. Everyone has to work on it to get there. There's no such thing as you're going to meet someone who's so accepting that even when they know your real weaknesses, they're going to be accepting of it. It doesn't work that way. Reality is, we work on ourselves. We work on accepting them, and over time, they work on accepting us. But we, if we want that marriage, it starts with us. The person has to take responsibility. If I were giving this class to women, I'd tell them they have to take responsibility. If we're giving this class to men, so then we have to take responsibility. In every relationship, every person has to say, I'm going to make this great. I'm going to make it a great relationship. There was once... I dated a girl once, told me the following story. She said that when she came to high school, I guess it was, either high school or college, so she came into the dorm room, and there was another girl who had been there first in the dorm room, and she had her stuff all set up. So she comes in with her suitcases, and there's another girl who's already set up in the room. So the girl welcomes her and she seems very nice, and then she says, I want to tell you one thing. You're welcome to the room, and I'm happy we're going to be roommates, but there's one thing that really annoys me, and I want you to know it from the start. We're going to be roommates, right? So, you see this? This is my comb. You see this? This is my iron. You see this? This is my makeup. Well, I want you to understand something. If you're going to come and start asking me, can I use your comb? Can I use your makeup? Can I use your iron? I'm going to get annoyed. You are welcome to use everything. Okay? Don't annoy me. Everything that's here, you are welcome to use. We are now roommates. Now, think about what that message is. Can you say that to someone else? You're welcome to use everything. It's all yours. But once someone else gives you that welcome, once someone else initiates that warmth, that openness, that connection, that closeness, so then you're more open to it. You start asking yourself, I'm not sure if they have lice, if I want them using my comb, but I'm not sure I want to say no. Right? I'm not sure if I want to say no. So now we can start a chain reaction of positive emotion. And that's what we want to do. Acceptance. Can we be accepting of someone else? We can. And that's the final point tonight. You have to know that you don't have to be a big tzaddik to have a beautiful marriage. You don't have to be a big talmid chacham. You don't have to be a big tzaddik. You have to be willing to work. If marriage is the most valuable thing in this world, if marriage is the most beautiful thing in this world, Torah is compared to marriage, Am Yisrael's relationship to Hashem is compared to marriage, it must be very valuable if all the cherished things are compared to it. So then if it's got such value, then it must demand immense work. Because things don't come free in this world. Things of value don't come free in this world. And in fairy tales they do, right? Genies come out of bottles. But in real life, you got to work. And so everyone can do it. Everyone can do it. You just got to decide you want to do it. Hashem gave it as a gift to mankind. That means all of mankind can make it into a gift. But it demands a tremendous amount of work. What did we discuss tonight? Let's recap. What did we discuss? We discussed that we're all looking for acceptance. We're looking for acceptance in the areas that we ourselves are uncomfortable with ourselves. We discussed that small comments of criticism drive away. What else did we discuss tonight?
Friendship. Friendship goes a long way.
Men need other friends, but you want a real friend. You want intimate friendship. That means you have to be accepting and open to sharing. It wouldn't hurt if once a couple has a conversation in which you say in advance, I want to share something with you, and I'm very scared you're going to laugh, or you're going to find it difficult to hear that I still miss my teddy bear from back when I was at home, or that when I was 5 years old, there's something I'm still feeling guilty about. There are things which it wouldn't hurt if we... said, you know, I want to discuss something with you. I'm scared, and I want you to know that our relationship will be more meaningful if I can share it with you and not get smacked in the face over it. You'd be surprised. It's not so easy. But it makes things more meaningful. One of the tools that can be used is to go on nice, long trips in nature. Nice long trips in nature help us connect, help us feel the connection. You can't get to the same place by sitting in a coffee shop. It's just not the same thing. Walking around in nature, it builds something that other things cannot. Dov, questions? No, let's do Dov's minute. Maybe.